How many of you got five fingers? Let's use them then. Let me take you, put them in your Bible, five places, real quickly. I'll start from the front and go back in Psalms chapter number 36. Stick your finger there. Psalms 36. Isaiah chapter 6. I know I normally don't go that many places, but we're going to go right off the start. Isaiah chapter 6. Psalms 36. Isaiah chapter 6. Then Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3. Last two's easy. Revelation chapter 4, Revelation 15. Revelation 4, Revelation chapter 15. You know, Brother Junior was talking about this morning, opening up in Sunday school. Some of you were over there with the youth. But he was talking about going to a funeral, and he said they kind of made a circus out of the funeral. And, you know, the sad part about it is a lot of the churches and so forth and a lot of services we have and a lot of things that's directed anymore is more like a circus than it is really a church service. There's something missing in the day in which we live and has faded away. We all have been brought up into it. If you think about God, we have, if you read Romans chapter 1, they did this at one time, and we're finding, the Bible says, there's nothing new under the sun, that we find ourselves just as the days of Noah, just as the days of Lot. We find ourselves in the latter days. And what they did was they took a holy God and they brought him down and tried to make him be like a creature. They tried to make him into their image and bring him down to their level. And when you bring him down to their level, then what you do is sinful man gets comfortable in the presence of God. There's a few people in the Bible that's recorded that came into the presence of God and God spoke to them. A couple of places we'll just mention. Moses, whenever he spoke to him from the burning bush. And he said the ground in which he stood was what? Anybody remember?
Holy ground.
Holy ground. You know what he told him to do? Take his shoes off. Remember when he came Daniel came into his presence, he fell as if he was dead. When Isaiah, when Job, different great men came into the presence of God, it was not somebody, it was not some man upstairs, it was not some good old boy. It's not someone that's just going to do what I'm going to say. There's something missing today in our concept of God. And I want to show it to you this morning. I want to preach about it. That's why I had her to sing that song, because it mentions Holy Father. The word holy means to be set aside. In God's terms, it means to be without sin, without an imperfection, perfect. That's why we call this the Holy Bible. Look if you would, and we're not going to go in the order in which your fingers are, but I want to begin in Isaiah chapter number 6. Now you remember, the Bible says, here I'll just read the first three verses. Isaiah is took up into the presence of God in heaven. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. and it stood, above it stood the serpents. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And twain did he fly. And one cried unto another and said, what? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Did it say love, love, love? Peace, peace, peace? Mercy, mercy, mercy? Grace, grace, grace? All those things are important, but that's not what they say when they sing God. These serpents, when they stand before the presence of God constantly, they have three words that they repeat over and over and over. Holy, 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 all night, all day. Now turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 4. Isaiah got to see in heaven. John got to see in heaven. In John chapter number 4, verse number 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the four beasts was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast like a face of a man, and the fourth beast like unto a flying eagle. Now, we could talk about these symbols, but I'm not going to get into that today because I want you to see the next verse. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him that were full of eyes within, and they rest not, what? Day and night. In other words, day and night they rest not, saying what? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. In other words, these beasts, these serpents, these angels that's constantly before the throne of God, day and night, they say one thing over and over and over. And if you die and go to heaven, you'll get to see these one of these days. When we get before the presence of God, they're still going to be there crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. There's nobody like you, nothing like unto you. That's why over in Isaiah, God asked the question to Israel when they was worshiping all these others. He says, who is like unto me? Come unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. For I am God, and there is none else. Now listen, God is holy. That's what we've lost sight of. We don't come. We come into a church and we come into the presence of God every way in the world, not taking any consideration at all that we're coming to the presence of the holy God. Now, we're going to talk about that in just a moment, but look back in your Bibles a moment in Romans chapter 4. Or 3, I'm sorry. In Romans chapter number 3, the Bible says those people that forget God, forget who God is, and notice what he says one of the aspects about him was in verse number 18. There is no what? Fear of God before their eyes. Why is there no fear of God before people's eyes? They don't see God as holy. When you come before the holy God, you shake, you tremble, you fear. You're scared. As a matter of fact, when God would meet with Moses on Mount Sinai, they would shake, all Israel would be down there shaking and fearing to come into the presence of God. Whenever God gave Moses the law, he said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it what? I'm holy, keep my day holy. Now somebody said, why don't we meet on the seventh day? Because he didn't tell us that. He told Israel that. That was a sign between him and Israel. They were to keep it holy. Not only that, but the Passover was holy. And the day after the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread was holy. And every one of the holy days and Sabbath days that God gave Israel was holy. And you say, what was the penalty for breaking it? You die. Aren't you glad you're not living under law? So Somebody said that was a stiff punishment if you picked up a stick on the Sabbath day, that you could be stoned to death. You know why? It represented God's day. It represented a holy God. And when you broke God's day, they died. Because God didn't play around. He was holy. Now, you say, I'm sure glad that God is not that way today. He is. But now stay with me a minute. I haven't finished the message. But now notice there's no fear of God before their eyes. Look, if you would, in Revelation chapter number 15. Look at verse number 4. When the seven last plagues is open, notice what it says. In verse number 4, who shall not what? Fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art what?
Holy.
For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. In other words, he said, God, who wouldn't fear you? You're the only one holy. You are without sin. You are above sin. You can't sin. You can't do anything wrong. You're holy. Now, listen. The angels in heaven declare God to be holy. You remember in Luke what happened? Whenever the demons possessed the man, and Jesus come walking up to that man, and thou said, whoa, thou son of the Most High God. What does thou do with us? The Holy One of God. In other words, even the fallen angels recognize the holiness of God. And they used to be up in heaven. And so they recognize. And God said, what kind of man would not fear God? Being that he's the only one holy. Look, if you would, in Psalms 36. I'm getting to a point, if you'll stay with me. Psalm 36, we find a couple things about people who have no fear of God. Notice in verse number 1. In verse number 1, we see what happens when men, the Bible says, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no what? Fear of God before his eyes. In other words, they've rebelled against God. They don't want to believe God. They don't want to believe him as holy. They don't see him as holy. And so they're not worried about God. And why not? Anymore, when we preach a funeral, everybody goes to heaven. Anymore, nobody wants to preach on hell. Somebody preach on hell, you say, well, I'm going to go someplace where they're not so negative. Can I ask you a question? I mean, since the Bible's full of the fact that there is a hell, since Jesus spent time and time, as a matter of fact, more time talking about hell than he did heaven, don't you think we ought to at least try to warn people about it? Wouldn't it be a terrible time? I was talking to someone last week, talking about taking her life. I said, what would happen? Well, I'd go to hell. I said, you understand what that statement is? Do you have any idea what hell is? Whatever problems you got here, you better not be thinking that hell's going to be an answer for them. You think you got problems here, you die where the Bible says the worm dies not, the fire is not quenched, and where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. You said, I don't believe it. It doesn't matter. The Bible says hell's full of unbelievers. So you'll have a lot of company if you don't believe it. But I'm going to tell you what. The unbelievers are only here. They're not there. They all believe there. And so the Bible teaches that. Now notice here, they say in their idea, their persuasion of what they do, they decide they rebel against God because there's no fear of God. They don't see him as holy. Look in verse 2. For he flatteth, talking about the wicked, for he flatteth himself in his what? He flatteth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. In other words, he brags about himself. He said, I don't worry about God. I don't care about God. The Bible says, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He said, I don't care. I'm not going to worry about God. No, you won't now, but you'll find out one of these days. that even though you thought that, that doesn't change a thing. When you stand before God, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, John saw the last time when all lost people will stand before God and the old earth and old heaven be done away. He said, I saw a great, in verse number 11, chapter 20, I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose face the heaven and earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. When even the heaven and earth in its sinful condition cannot stand before the presence of holy God. And the Bible says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And he said the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And they were judged according to these that was written in the book of, according to these written in the books. And the Bible says that the sea gave up the dead that was in them. Death and hell delivered up the dead that was in them. In verse number 14, and death and hell was cast in the lake of fire. This is a second death. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now let me tell you something. The Bible says this holy God with sinful men is a consuming fire. It says you better not fall into the hands of an angry God. The Bible said those that had the Son hath life. Those that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth upon them. The wrath of God means God's stored up anger that he's going to reveal in the day of judgment. And so that's why over in Revelation, he said, who's not going to fear God? Do they not understand one of these days when they stand before God, what's going to happen? And so these people here, they said in their own eyes, they lifted up with pride. They said, we don't care. We're going to bring God down to our level. He's going to do what we want to do or we won't claim him. We don't, listen, that's legalism to think that God's holy and he requires us to be holy as he is holy. But look on. In verse 36, or chapter 36, verse 3, the words of his mouth are what? Iniquity and what? He's kidding himself. When you have no fear of God before your eyes, you're kidding yourself. You're lying to yourself. The truth is all that'll set you free. Look on in the last part of it. And he hath left off to be what? Wise and to do what? Oh, I cannot tell you. Times of funerals. I've got where most time I kind of cringe if somebody comes and said, I want you to preach a funeral. Usually their first statement is this. Oh, Daddy was a good man. Was he saved? Oh, well, he was a good man. Good father. Good husband. There is none good, no, not one. Don't you know there's only one holy? You said, preacher, I think I'm pretty good. You might be pretty good compared to me, but you ain't pretty good compared to him. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, you won't be compared. You say, well, preacher, when I stand before God, if you make it, I'll surely make it. You won't be compared to me. You'll be compared to him. His holiness. And so what you have to understand is this. When we quit preaching the holiness of God, people quit fearing God. When they get thinking, as we do today, we get this positive message. Oh, I'm going to preach positive. I'm going to fill stadiums. I'm going to fill arenas because everybody likes to hear a positive thing. Well, that's all good in its place. But if it's not true, it don't help you. And if it misleads you and makes you full of deceit and lifts you up with pride, thinking that God's going to accept you just the way you are. But remember what salvation is? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a what? Gift of God, not what? Works, lest any man should what? You won't brag about be getting to heaven. When you get to heaven, it'll not be because of what you did. It won't be your works that got you there. If you get to heaven, it'll be because of the works of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, stay with me a minute. Look back in chapter 36. Notice if you would in verse 4. Talking about the wicked again. He devises mischief upon his what? In other words, he lays in his bed. He plans on how he's going to do things. He philosophizes. He weighs it out. He wants to do it his way. Verse number, last part of that verse. He sets himself in a way that is what? But he abhorreth what? In other words, he does evil and he tries to make good out of it. Now stay with me just a moment. I want to show you a couple things and I want you to understand. You cannot show me in a place in the Bible where someone approaches God in a casual, irreverent way. It doesn't happen. When they approach God, why do you think it says holy, 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 holy? Because it wants to remind you what kind of God we serve. There is none. Now, what is the definition of fear? The Bible says in Psalms 19, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of God are true and righteous altogether. In other words, when God is going to judge us, he's going to be true because he's righteous in all that he does. Now, you need to understand that without this holiness, we would not have and have ability to have a relationship with God. What we did was this. Jesus came, the Son of God came, because God is holy. Man is what? Sinful. God's here, man's here. The Bible says in the book of Romans that God, that man was enmity with God, the enemy of God. We are separated. Sin has separated us from Adam all the way down. Sin separated us from God. He's holy. He can't have no fellowship with sin. Sin can't have no fellowship with him. He's holy. He's sinful. How in the world can we ever be brought back together? Jesus was sent to reconcile sinful man, for God commendeth his love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us to reconcile us to a holy God. He allows us to have a relationship with God. Without Jesus, you cannot have a relationship. Now, stay with me a minute. Listen to me very carefully. Don't go through life believing this lie. I'm not such a bad person. I'm as good as anybody else. Surely God will find something good in me. He's done declared, folks, there is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. Don't try to get to heaven by your own merits. The only merit that you're going to get to heaven by is Jesus's. Jesus was sent that he would be an answer to our sin problem and be able to reconcile us to holy God. And see, Jesus came and took a body just like ours, but he walked upon this earth yet without sin, and he come. A junior could not come, and Junior, I think Junior is a pretty good old guy. Pretty good guy. Shouldn't be that old. He's a pretty good guy. But he fall way short in trying to be a substitute for your sin. He can't even be a substitute for his own sin. Every one of us would have failed. Jesus came and he was that perfect sacrifice, and God looked upon him. He said, this is my beloved son. Amen. In whom I'm well pleased. And he became a propitiation for our sins. Amen. The substitute. And so therefore, if you want to be reconciled to God, you've got to be reconciled through Jesus. Now listen to me very carefully. I went to a guy's bed one night, and me and Brother Don, and we went to his bedside. He was fixing to die. As a matter of fact, he died within 2 hours after we talked to him. And I went and I talked to him. He by his own life and by his own profession, he'd never been saved. And I went and I talked to him about being saved. He said, I'm okay with God. He said, I've made peace with God. I said, how'd you make peace with God? He said, I've just made peace with God. I said, have you accepted Christ? Have you called upon Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you look to him, the Son of God, as the only means of coming to God? No, but me and God's okay. I said, you and God ain't okay. You can't be okay with God unless you have Jesus. You see, the holiness of God keeps, and somebody said, well, preacher, I believe that a lost person can pray to God and talk to God and tell God things just like a saved person can. Oh, you do? You better get back into Scripture and study. You only have, we have, man has one mediator between us and God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. There's only one thing that links us and allows us to pray. Right now when we pray, and we pray 2-3 times in the church already this morning, what allows us to pray before a holy, just God is not because when he hears us, he says, oh, that's a good guy, I'm going to listen to what he says. It's because Jesus is between us and God, and through his blood, he hears us through Jesus Christ. He accepts us through Jesus. So therefore, it's God's holiness keeps us separated from him, and Jesus' sacrifice allows us to come in the presence of God. If you want to go to heaven, you've got to have Jesus. There is no going to heaven without him. Salvation, the holiness of God, teaches us that God requires us to accept Christ through his work and through his way, through his will, through his word. Everything teaches us that God is holy. Habakkuk says this in verse 1, 13. Says, thou art of pure eyes that to behold evil and canst not look upon iniquity. In other words, God can't. And somebody said, I've heard somebody say, well, I heard this one guy one time on tape. He was selling out arenas saying he went to heaven. He saw all this. Everybody, a lot of people were buying it. You try getting the presence of God the way you are right now, you die. Yeah. Somebody said, I don't understand some of these things in the Old Testament. Whenever David sent to get the Ark of Covenant, that was a good thing. It was supposed to be back at Jerusalem. Why in the world, whenever the ox stumbled and the guy put his hand up just to keep the mark from falling, why did he drop dead? Because he touched the holy thing. You could not come into the presence of God, the holy God, without dying. You know why? In the temple and tabernacle, they had a veil and the Ark of the Covenant behind the veil. Because only one man, one time a year, could go in back there. Anybody else go back there? They died. As a matter of fact, the high priest, one time on the Day of Atonement, could go back there. But he had to go all through all this ritual of cleaning himself, presenting himself to God, asking for forgiveness of God, taking the blood, representing the blood of Jesus, sprinkling the mercy seat before we ever got in the presence of it, and then go in there and confess the sins of Israel over the mercy seat of God covered with blood. If he had not cleansed himself the way God told him to, he'd die. And they'd have to pull him out without going back there. Because he died because he come in the presence of God. You say, I don't understand all this stuff. It's because God is holy. My friend, we serve a holy God. Amen. And listen, you got nothing to brag on. But the holiness of God tells us that our salvation is by grace. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing and regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You get that? Before the world was ever made, they knew Adam would sin. They knew Jesus would come. They knew he'd die and make a way. Now, friend, listen to me, please. Please. I don't know about you. I've seen a lot of people walk this aisle in the years that we've been here. I've seen some come, tore all to pieces. I've seen a few come down through here. They come down just casual, nonchalant. They'd leave and go back up the same way. I'd say to myself, that ain't going to work. And you know what? Most of them I never saw again. They'd make some profession, never even show up for baptism. Now listen to me. I don't know about you, But I remember how it was when this old boy got saved. I recognize myself a sinner in the presence of a holy God. I had no doubt in my own mind if I died, I'd go to hell. And I was scared. I was afraid. I saw myself as a sinner, and I also saw that within my own ability, I had no hope. My only hope was a man who hung upon that cross. And if I was to come to God, I had to come through him. And I'm going to tell you something. When I called out to him, I meant business. Because it was no joking matter when I realized what a condition my soul was in. But thank God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. He came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Oh, dear friend, do you have the Son? Do you have Jesus? If you have a relationship with Almighty Holy God, you've got to have the Son, or you have no relationship.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand this morning. Maybe you're here and you're not saved.
Page 385.
And maybe in your mind you had been taught and thought that some way, somehow you go to heaven. This morning I want you to understand the word of truth has been preached. Without Jesus, no man goes to heaven. No man comes to the Father. And this morning you need to come and accept Christ. You feel the Holy Spirit of God bidding you to come and get saved. Would you come and obey him this morning? How about it, friend? Would you come? Greatest day in my life. Have I failed God since then? Absolutely. But God has not failed me. Amen. Greatest day of my life was when I got saved. Amen.